for the next talk and last one for the dev room. Magnus is going to tell us everything about measured boot and remote attestation in confidential containers. Let's welcome.
Hello, happy to be here and talk about what we're doing in the confidential containers project. I think leveraging a lot of prior art from systemd or the whole systemd ecosystem, and the idea was to present a bit what we're doing there, what tools are we using, and maybe we can extrapolate this kind of architecture also for other similar projects. Yeah, I work at Microsoft in the Azure Core Linux organization, and as mentioned, I'm a contributor and maintainer of some projects in the confidential container space. So first context, I think it's maybe not obvious why containers and pods and what does it have to do with boot integrity? Essentially, what we have to do when we want to have confidential containers, so use confidential computing in a container context, we have to put those containers into virtual machines, because today the technology for confidential computing is mostly using virtualization boundaries. And in the Kubernetes container realm, the unit, the atom that we deal with are called pods. Those are like co-located processes that run in a sandbox and they share a few resources, they are namespace, but usually they run like without strong virtualization isolation on a node next to each other. And what confidential containers has to do is they have to wrap those pods into VMs. So when we look at the typical container launch, we don't have to go through the whole state machine here, but I think it's obvious to infer that there's a lot of complexity going on in terms of the user that is writing their Kubernetes spec, which is like a declarative manifest of which containers are supposed to run, which commands are to be executed, environment variables, all that. They send them to an API server, and the API server dispatches it to a kubelet, which is a Kubernetes component. And then there's the container runtime. It's called the container runtime interface. So today, Kubernetes is not really built on Docker anymore, so there's an abstraction. And Containerd is one of those implementers of this container runtime interface. And then finally, Containerd translates those into OCI, those specs into OCI runtime calls, and RunC essentially launches the processes that the user intended to run in a sandbox. And for confidential containers, the picture looks still roughly the same, but instead of having the RunC launching the processes, we have a step in between. That's called the kata shim that will launch the virtual machine and talk to an RPC or to an agent in the confidential VM and perform the same jobs as that RunC in a usual setup would do. And additionally, for confidentiality, it's there's a ceremony involved. Like, you need an attestation service, you need hardware evidence from the confidential VM. So I won't go into much detail here how this works, but it's essentially like there's more than just in a more ceremony required to launch a confidential pod than there is in a Kubernetes setup. So you need to do a secure key release, and you need to verify the hardware evidence, and all that has to be part, or it has to be bundled in the trusted computing base of the confidential VM. And if you look at the confidential VM component, there's a part that is dynamic, that is where the pod processes run, but there's also the static components I was just talking about that are facilitating the key release, that are launching the containers, that are jailing the containers and assigning resources. They do even C groups in the VM to make sure that there's isolation between the containers in a pod. For this context, we will focus on the static components, not on the runtime, because it's a different beast. It's more complex to measure the runtime. But for the static components, we could leverage measured boot, because the system that is launching those containers, the Linux system, it's really just a utility VM that has to be very small for performance reasons, but also because you want to have the TCB ideally very small, because you have to trust all those components in there. And we have to, the components I mentioned before, like to facilitate attestation, there's a few, they're called guest components, and we have the agent, so the runtime that is launching the processes. And one architectural key property of confidential computing is that it mandates integrity. So it doesn't make sense to talk about confidentiality when you cannot guarantee what you're running. And this is often like a big stumbling block. When people look into confidential containers, they are surprised that they have to deal with this, that they have to first get integrity right. And if you want to trust the sandbox, that means we have to trust the guest OS. And all of this has to be measured. So the guest operating system and the firmware components. There's options to do this. Like one of the options that historically was used, we package firmware kernel and the Kata agent as bit one without any rootfs. And this is rather simple, and it's charming because it's simple, because the measurements can be pre-calculated rather easily, and we have like the confidential computing architectures from AMD, for example, that really likes this because they don't have runtime registers, really, where you can measure at runtime, so you have a kind of safe state that you dispatch at VM launch, and this safe state can be pre-calculated. And this is why this was the initial architecture. The problems arise when we see, like, we now have to deal with discrete processes, like those guest components. There's three of those for architectural reasons. They communicate via RPC locally, and so Kata agent started to become a process manager. And all the problems with locks and everything started to appearing, like how do we restart those? How do they get orchestrated? So we have tried to have a discussion about systemd, how we can introduce systemd into this picture to manage those components, because this also enables some use cases. So for example, we need to have a one-off job that consumes configuration before the agent is even started. If it's pit one, then the agent needs also take over this job, etc. And this really simplifies the agent code, and simplicity is really key in those confidential container system, because they more easily, you can audit them more easily, and it's it doesn't help if the code becomes convoluted. And we can leverage systemd's measured boot facilities. And I think 2 weeks ago, so not just, but 2 weeks ago probably, we got this merged. So we have to now, Kata is using systemd as an init system, and we are able to use all the niceties that we get from systemd in terms of PCR measurements. And one of those tools that have been very helpful for us has been MCOSI, whatever you want to call it. We call it MCOSI for the time being, maybe. I know, yeah, but it's, I mean, like, I would really encourage everyone to look at this tool. I think the motivation initially was that the project was using Packer. Packer changed their license. That was not deemed incompatible with CNCF anymore, so it's kind of an external push to change this, and we scrambled a bit, and we luckily stumbled over this project, and it turned out to be really really great for our use case. So it's declarative instead of running a bunch of bash scripts in a VM. You can describe what you want, and it's again, like, easily auditable. You can build images rootless. It supports various distributions. We use Fedora at the moment, but we also tried other distributions. And we also have, like, for example, architectures like S390X that is using MCOSI for those images. And it also turned out, like, it's really fast. Not just locally. Locally, it's really, really fast because it caches a lot, but also on the CI. We built images like in the realm of 3 minutes. On GitHub Actions, this allows us, for example, to run like smoke tests against those images that we build in PRs. And before, there had been like a very long E2E test suite. And this really shortens debug cycles, and is a great improvement for what we were struggling with. We also have the setup that the rootfs in our case is really immutable. We don't have to change it, really. The VM, once booted, won't be rebooted. There won't be any changes persisted on the VM, really. So what we can essentially do is just use the existing VM verity mechanisms, and this is, I think, in terms of config, it's really more or less just this. So we don't do, we didn't have to do anything more. For me, at least, this was great to see. Like, engineers from Edgeless implemented this, and I was searching for where's the actual magic happening. Apparently, it's just that easy. At this point, maybe a small detour while we're talking about TPMs and CVMs. So we can use vTPMs in confidential VMs to some degree today, because the CVMs have some kind of privilege level architecture when they don't have runtime registers. It's called VMPL for SEV-SNP. That's a piece of memory that is protected from the guest OS, which runs in a lesser privilege level, and the host, because it's a confidential VM. So and you can bootstrap kind of a playground, or you can extend the root of trust into a playground where the vTPM is running and exposes vTPM APIs to the guest OS, and then you can do runtime measurements. And you also don't have to use all the bespoke interfaces from Intel or AMD to record your measurements. You can just use the existing user land. So this is implemented in Paravisors or Secure Virtual, I don't know, it's SVSM, it's called. It's like a early boot component, firmware-ish, that is performing those tasks. So one example is OpenHCL for Microsoft. The other is Coconut SVSM, and they're both open source. And yeah, I'm in the chart. That's maybe not really legible, but the idea is that the root of trust is really linked to the attestation key of the vTPM, like the hardware root of trust of the TE. Yeah, and we are using the vTPM then for measured boot. So there's a nice chart with the PCR registry published by the UAPI group. And if you look at it, you see it's pretty crowded already. And what we use currently is we use the PCR 11 for UKIs, and we use PCR 8 for our configuration measurements because it's used by Grub, and Grub we don't use at the moment. We can calculate those PCRs offline or via a software TPM. Both is possible. We also used systemd analyze a lot because in our case, like launch latency is really critical because those VMs, they need to be instrumented or they need to be launched by the cloud provider, for example, and then you want to have a fast container or time to pot, essentially. And so we would go into and see like what is, where do we have to fix problems. So for profiling, systemd analyze was really helpful. We are also looking at encrypted workspaces at the moment to use this. So when playing around with this, we saw that this is probably also something that is rather easy to do. So you just have another partition that is kind of that can auto-grow, and you just add this piece of code to repart in MCOSI and add a cryptap entry, and then you get like an ephemeral encrypted workspace. I think we have to probably ponder a bit about the security implications of this, but from the building perspective, it's again super easy with MCOSI and systemd at the moment. I think, yeah, there's a few future ideas. We want to maybe look into SysX because some users might have opinionated BaseOS, like they want to do it on RHEL. So we have to kind of plug the COCO ecosystem on top of it and also have it predictably measured. It would also be very nice to have non-TPM support somehow in systemd. Maybe this is something that would be helpful because at the moment we have to interact a lot with low-level TE hardware in bespoke ways, and it would be nice to have an abstraction like libTSS, maybe not libTSS, but like on the same abstraction level. Yeah, and summing up, using tools from systemd and the ecosystem really gave us a great boost to iterate and quickly build on this immutable utility VM. And I think this can also be used in other contexts where you have a really like static OS image and you run an application on it. I would definitely, in the future, look at this as a template to go ahead for measured boot. And that's it from my side. Thanks for listening. At runtime, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Is it possible for the container to contribute something to the attestation? No. At the moment, no. I left out the container part. So what we measure is pretty much an abstract notion of the container workload. But at runtime, we currently don't do this because we don't have the option that every TEE has runtime registers. And I think this requirement will be coming in the near future because you have like rather than starting Nginx containers, you run long-running machine learning processes, and those want to have continuous measurements. So we have to introduce runtime measurements.
Any other questions?
Two questions. First one is the basin, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one. Building based on MCOSI, it means you don't have really reproducible image. You still have to trust your build environment.
Yeah.
In extent because you can take the same base description and generate the same artifact.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is like this. Yeah. So the question was, they are not reproducible. So we're rebuilding an image, like a golden image, if you will. We're publishing the measurements for this, but it's not reproducible. And this is like.
Reproducible?
given it's for some cases, yes.
Yeah, but that. Yeah.
There was a talk at ASP.
Yeah, there was a talk at ASP for reproducibility on MKOSI images.
Yeah.
Depends on the file system, depends
exactly.
on the package manager.
Yeah.
System.
Yeah.
Depends on your repo, right? Like your repo, if you get an update in.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you have to pin that.
Yeah, yeah, you have to pin a snapshot of all packages, basically.
Yeah.
But it's possible.
Yeah. Okay. But it's, I mean, it's definitely something that would make sense, but it's like out of scope for the time being because it's deemed not trivial.
Okay. I would just like to say, I've recently, for similar issues, I've usually ran with Nix instead.
Yeah, but Nix, we just learned.
Yes, just not the normal system.
Yeah.
The other thing I had is PCR11.
Yeah.
Do you depend only on PCR11?
No. I mean, that's. So the question was do we depend only on PCR11? So, no, we basically attach the whole PCR quote, the whole TPM quote mm-hmm. to the evidence, and the users can then pick like what they want. We maybe even want to put the log into the. Into the evidence, so it's more transparent, and you can replay the log. But at the moment, you get like all the quote collects, I think, all measurements from the PCR.
So as a user of this, how do I know that this is a good image?
You use like the reference values that are published. I mean, ideally, a user would build a system themselves. Like on their premises, and then take the measurements according to the environment, because they might be different, for example, from cloud to cloud. So you would get different measurements from early boot on AWS and on Azure. It's not one-to-one the same.
Are you planning to pre-calculate any of these values?
Yeah, I mean, you can do it to a certain degree. For PCR11, I think you can do this, but yeah, in general.
PCR11 on its own doesn't buy you anything.
Yeah.
Because if you can link, like PCR11 is an empty PCR, which means if I only link on PCR11, I just take a random system, I write that value into PCR11, and I have the same value, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's more or less like you have, so the if you only write, so the argument was if you only use PCR11, it won't give you much guarantees here. So, but the point is that at the moment, we're not really in the business of like the deciding what reference values users want to use. We more or less want to just move like everything that we can get to a validator site, so they can make educated decisions based on their setup. That would be, for the moment, my level of abstraction.
Other questions?
I have one. So you mentioned, this is, I mean, not really like side thing, but you mentioned using systemd analyze to debug like
yeah.
started. Did you find anything interesting that maybe could be upstream? Because I want to make RPMs faster as well.
I mean that, yeah. So whether we found anything when using systemd analyze to make the startup faster. I mean, yes, but it was like our own stuff. It's like we're just sometimes clouds have weird ways of setting themselves up, and there's cloud in it, and we cannot use cloud in it, so this is where it helped us by finding out like when do we have to call home to the provisioning server, etc. Those kind of aspects.
And one more, if there is.
Your colleague from Azure Linux yesterday explained that we have to, besides pushing the hardware, we have to serve the BDPM for the disk encryption. Can you elaborate why this is the case, and do you have any plans to eliminate this additional requirements in the future?
Okay, so the question was, I think the question was, and we have to rely on the BDPM for disk encryption?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know the context really, but I mean, it's for unenlightened guests, I think this like unenlightened means in a confidential virtual machine without any additions that the virtual machine would know that it's running in a confidential VM. So that's why I think the BTPM is convenient. I don't think this requirement transcends in general. So for us, it's just convenient because we don't have to write code. I mean, this is the VTPM is present, and we can use, as I said, like a few config files and get measured boot.
Okay.
Do you need a decryption key in order to access persistent stuff? That wasn't mentioned yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know the context really, so that's why.
I'm presentation in the Google room yesterday, where a colleague of yours was talking about how to attach persistent storage. You only talk about ephemeral, right?
Yeah.
Where you attach persistent storage, and then you just somehow need to get the persistent, the key to decrypt the persistent storage. And that's where you usually will use VTM or similar validation somewhere else to just get it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's too long to repeat, but I think we are out of time. So again, thanks to the speaker. Thanks for the video.